present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Radio Times read by Harriet Cass.
Best Undressed is a documentary that deals with the annual Miss Nude Australia pageant. Although very entertaining, this type of film will always have its knockers.
Our thanks to Simon Rose for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Andy Hamilton and Fred McCauley. And opposite them on my left, Bridget Christie and Jeremy Hardy. Andy, where has a tea party got out of hand?
Well, this is the American midterm election, which saw success up to a point for the Tea Party with their slogan of claiming back America, which, strictly speaking, should be our slogan, but or the native Indian slogan. But it's a setback for Barack Obama, and the main problem seems to be the level of expectation for him as the first American black president. He has this air of somebody who knows what he's doing. You know, he has that lovely, languid, physical way of moving. The way he talks is so elegant. He exudes composure and competence, and the American people just aren't used to that in a president. You know, nobody in America was disappointed by Bush from the outset. They knew he was special needs. You know, all the signs were there. They could see the banjo playing smile. You know, the inability to talk, the inability to successfully eat a pretzel. You know, they knew he was going to be crap, and he didn't disappoint them. And similarly with Clinton, they knew Clinton was going to lie to them because he had form. Like, in fact, America was happy to be Clinton's intern. You know, they knew he'd behave appallingly, and he did. The problem with Obama is he's got this aura of confidence and ability, and he needs to lose that, to be honest. So he needs to go into his next press conference and knock the lectern over, maybe choke on a savoury snack, lose the nuclear attack codes like Clinton did for a few weeks. And he's got to lose that slogan. That's a disaster. Yes, we can.
Yeah.
He's got to change that to something like, well, your guess is as good as mine. Something like that.
I hate to disagree with you, Andy, but I think Obama's speech has become more hesitant. Mm. I think he's now got longer pauses in his speech. And I worry it's contagious.
Maybe he's being told what to say in his ear and the connection's not as good as it used to be. Maybe
it is. That happened with Reagan. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this programme so long, I can remember when Reagan got it wrong and he stood there and he blanked and he was getting fed messages by CIA into his earpiece. He only got caught when he said, why doesn't the old bugger say something?
I think Obama is losing his confidence a bit. I mean, every single newspaper ran those photos of him looking really sad and a bit broken. And we saw the same thing with Nick Clegg. Both men in the run-up to the elections were so confident and vibrant. Everyone was like, wow, and everyone wanted them to be great. And now Clegg looks like a broken man now. Look at him on the front bench. He looks nervous and shifty. He can't make eye contact with anyone. Nick Clegg now looks like a dog with the runs that's been allowed into a really posh house with white carpets, right? That's what he looks like to me. He can't make eye contact with anyone. You try making eye contact with a dog that's got the runs and it can't be done. It can't. I've tried many times because a dog understands the concept of shame and so does Nick Clegg.
Hey, there was some good news, though.
Hmm.
California, Jerry Brown's back.
Yes, 72 years old. Yeah. How
he
great
was
is that?
Once the youngest ever governor, now he's the oldest ever governor. Mm-hmm. So it's alarming. If anybody's a fan of William Hague, he's going to be around for decades.
I mean, the Tea Party itself is a nonsense, hankering after some 18th century idyll of when America was pure and perfect. But, I mean, the Boston Tea Party, well, they weren't freedom fighters. They were mostly just a bunch of local entrepreneurs who got irritated.
Yeah, they were tax dodgers.
Irritated, that's right. They were the Lord Ashcrofts of their day.
I hate that they've stolen this from us, because tea parties were a thing that I did as a child.
Yeah.
I mean, not with China Cups and Dolls. I used to form right-wing extremist parties, but...
It's all very easy just to dismiss the Tea Party as backward-looking simpletons, basically.
The Tea Party does contain the kind of politicians that make Michael Gove look normal.
And they whingers as well. I saw one being interviewed on Newsnight, and he said the Tea Party is not a party, it's a movement. And he thought, well, if you don't want to be thought of as a party, don't have the word party in your name.
Maybe Obama needs to just be a bit more unpredictable and just go a bit nuts, because he's very controlled, isn't he, and very calm. I think he should maybe just start up a chainsaw occasionally during press conferences. Just to unnerve the opposition a bit. Wear a hockey mask more often.
Barack Obama suffered a catastrophic defeat in the US midterm elections as the Republicans, thanks in part to the Tea Party, gained control of the House of Representatives. Obama admitted the result had given him a late and uncomfortable night. I'm the same with cheese, exactly the same. 2 points to Andy. Fred, who will be fighting together for liberté, égalité and Her Majesty?
It's us and the French,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Mr Cameron and Mr Sarkozy signed an agreement that we should share defence capabilities. So the French get a shot of our aircraft carrier. Well, in fact, I'm loath to call it aircraft carrier because there are no aircraft, as you know. So it's the carrier. And in return, we get from the French a chain of cafes run by men who speak pidgin English and hide us from the Germans. And that's how it's going to work, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. We're going to share the aircraft carriers. I don't quite understand. What happens if we end up at war with the French? We'll have to take it in turns to bomb each other.
Do you know what I think they should do with the decommissioned aircraft carrier?
What?
Sell it to Ryanair.
Oh, yeah.
They can just float it in the Atlantic and call it America.
That's
it.
Have that Foreign Legion, don't they? Those guys with the hankies down the back of their necks, and they go to all those fantastic, they're brave, go to all those inhospitable areas. Can you not imagine how that bravado will crumble the second they see Aldershot? I feel that coming on.
But it sort of came out of the blue, this sort of agreement. I think it was in September they first started talking about it. But I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but how it actually came about was that the Sarkozys and the Camerons were a swingers party, and it went quite well, and the girls were quite happy, and they said maybe we could do it with other things. And but the problem was, was that the Merkels were there as well, and Nicola and David didn't really want to go there. And, you know, they said to each other, we've got to be really sensitive and just don't mention that we don't think she's attractive and just blame the war. And that's how it happened.
Did they have their aircraft carrier keys on them and throw them into the middle?
They had them in a bowl. Yeah.
I don't know you well, Bridget, but your mind is a curious place, isn't it? I like that.
It was on Mumsnet.
Sorry, that's just the thing.
What I would know is if Angela Merkel picked up the paper on Wednesday morning and looked at it and said, a military cooperation between Britain and France. That is a good... Wait a second, this rings a bell.
Which so has would happened. They have joint ration boxes, the troops? Would they have French and British things in them?
What, like are you just putting in a coq au vin?
Yes. Because apparently our troops have alphabet spaghetti in there so that in quiet moments they can play Scrabble and things like that. But would they have to then play in French or a mix, or how would that work, for example?
That's a good example.
I think...
I listened to the whole PMQ, that wasn't addressed.
It wasn't on there.
They've clearly not thought this through at all, have they?
It's a major problem.
Yeah.
Also, on the aircraft carriers, what sort of plugs are they going to have?
David Cameron and Nicolas Sarkozy have signed a historic defence accord that will see Britain and France share nuclear secrets, aircraft carriers and form a joint defence force. Military hardware will have to be adapted to accommodate both armies. For a start, French tanks will need forward gears fitted.
Don't clap that jingoism, please. That's outrageous.
British troops have actually only operated independently from France twice in the last 30 years, the Falklands and the reopening of Primark on Oxford Street. 2 points to Fred. Bridget, who needs cable to get Sky TV?
This is Vince Cable, the business secretary, has referred Rupert Murdoch's bid to buy out BSkyB to Ofcom. Apparently it wouldn't be good if he sort of owns all the newspapers and all the news channels. I disagree, actually. As a working mother, I find it very time-consuming and a bit confusing having lots of different opinions thrown at me all the time. And I think it would be much better if we had one man just telling us what to think. And while we're on the subject...
Yes.
God bless them suffragettes and everything. But to be honest... Now that I can vote, it's just given me something else to think about.
Oddly, there is something in what you say, because there's bits of Sky...
No, there isn't.
Well, this is actually Murdoch's second bid for BSkyB, and I thought it was so typical of Sky, isn't it, to repeat something you weren't that interested in the first time. And they had the guy on, the News Corporation spokesman, who said he's absolutely sure the plan is going to go through. But he said other things as well, but I couldn't concentrate because he was just stroking this large white cat the whole time.
It's a heartwarming story, though, Murdoch, the way he started out, you know, all he had when he started out was what his dad was able to give him, which was a media empire. It's a shame, though, that when somebody's that rich and has got opinions... Because, like Branson, you think... The good thing about Branson is he wants to own everything. He's got a demented ego. But he's quite happy trying to make a balloon work in his spare time.
He doesn't even mind not making a balloon work.
No, he's quite happy. And he's one of those kids that was always happy with a balloon. And they're, you know, they're no trouble, are they, really?
Just in the interest of fairness, can I just say it's not been a great week for the BBC, either?
No, paganism.
What's happened to us?
Paganism.
No, it wasn't that. It was that they've had to apologise to...
Or Live Aid.
They've had to apologise to Live Aid for a report on BBC World Service, or, as it will be known after the cuts, BBC Sheffield.
So we're not doing the BBC paganism story. That'll look like a cover-up if we don't
do it very quickly, then. Well, you get an extra point, maybe.
The Telegraph headline was, BBC devotes day to paganism. Which I thought really got my hopes up. I was rather looking forward to seeing Hugh Edwards naked disemboweling a chicken on the news editions of Strictly Come Sacrificing and stuff like that. But in fact, it was just that they'd done a report on the BBC of some druids in cagoules.
Well, I'm going to give you an extra point for covering a story we hadn't even thought of.
Thank you. I forgot others.
No, shush now, Andy. The business secretary, Vince Cable, has asked Ofcom to investigate News Corporation's plan to buy the 61% of BSkyB it does not already own. BBC's Director General Mark Thompson has written to Vince Cable asking him to block this move. He would have phoned, but the last time a BBC employee tried to contact an elderly man by telephone, things got a little out of hand. News Corporation currently owns 39% of Sky, 28% of water and 45% of land. Jeremy, why might criminals be able to steal the election?
Because of the European Court, those pesky Belgians, we can no longer deny our prisoners the right to vote. Well, we don't know, of course, whether the constituency that they're in will be where the jail is or whether they're...
It will be their home address of where they were before they were...
But if it's not, I mean, what if Dartmoor's in a marginal constituency? Yeah. You're going to get a lot of candidates who are suddenly, you know, advocating grants for tunnelling equipment. And...
It doesn't seem to really make much sense. But I think if they are allowed, I think that we should also allow fictional characters to vote.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so, you know, like Basil Brush or the Mitchell brothers or you know, Lewis, Inspector Lewis, I like him. He should be able to...
But then that means
it makes as much sense.
The election could be swung by the cast of Emmerdale, then, couldn't it?
But would the result then be binding, or would that be a parallel universe of fictional election results?
Well, it pretty much is now. So. I remember my father was a journalist and he was covering the Irish elections and he was on the stump, as it were, with Charles Hockey. And a woman came up and said, "I think you're fantastic. I think you're absolutely fantastic. I voted for you. I voted for you 6 times today."
And would they be allowed to go to polling stations?
What, I would imagine the polling station would come to them, would be.
Because they'll just run off, won't they?
I see where you're coming from, Bridget. They're at the polling station, yeah. Somebody's in the polling booth, the electoral guys are sitting there, they've been in there a long time. You go and have a look, and they go in, and the poster on the wall that says what to do has got a wee bit flappy, and they open it up, and there's a hole.
Yeah.
And he's tunnelled out.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, he's just on the other side of the polling booth.
We'll know if it's starting to have an effect politically because they'll start saying slightly coded things at party conferences and leaders' speeches and PMQs and things. Cameron will say things like, "Look, no one likes a grass." Just little things like that.
The European Court of Human Rights has ruled that Britain must let prisoners vote in general elections. Laws prohibiting the right of prisoners to vote were formalised in the 14th century, despite the complaints of the then Lib Dem backbencher Ming Campbell. At the end of round one, the scores are Bridget and Jeremy have got 4 points, but Andy and Fred are in the lead with 5. We start round two with a cutting from the newsletter from the Melbourne Church Times.
This Sunday, St Paul's will be organising a 5-year reunion for all those who have been married or buried in the church.
And our thanks to Caspian Mitchard for sending us that. Fred, which political leader's party was a bit too bunga-bunga?
It's Silvio Berlusconi. Now, I don't speak Italian.
Clearly.
But I had the Latin at school. And Silvio has parties not dissimilar to what the Romans used to have in their villas, with lots of nymphs around, and one of the nymphs described it as a bunga-bunga party. And from my old Latin education, I know that that translates into the English rumpy-pumpy. Kind of caught in a catch-22, because Silvio Berlusconi said, "You mustn't believe everything you read in the papers," and then he went on to tell the journalist that he didn't have sex with the girl. So you kind of think, right, okay, well, I don't believe that.
He said, "It's better to be passionate about beautiful girls than gay." And I thought, well, two don't have to be mutually exclusive.
It takes people's minds off other things, doesn't it? Because the people are thinking, oh, he's a bit of a boy.
Exactly.
He's a bit mental with his hair transplant and his prostitutes. And they're not thinking about his mass media ownership, his fascist connections and his links to the mafia.
Yeah, a harmless rogue.
No, can I just say he denies the mafia connections. Before he went into politics, he was harmlessly in the construction industry.
Imagine if we had a prime minister like Berlusconi. Imagine if you read a story where David Cameron have been having some wild parties full of prostitutes, or as Berlusconi calls them, ministers. And supposing, right, a young 17-year-old girl was arrested, but Cameron rang up the police station and said, "Oh, you'll have to let her go because she's the daughter of the former Egyptian Premier Mubarak. So can just let it go." This is an average week for Berlusconi.
I think Andy was unfair on Cameron then. Cameron did have the most extraordinary sex scandal in the Tory party when it was revealed that he'd fathered a child with his own wife. That sort of thing goes down terribly badly in the Shires.
From my little knowledge of this, and it's only from reading the papers, I hasten to add, prostitutes do seem to be kind of addictive. Because remember Max Mosley, who was found in an underground sex torture chamber with 5 prostitutes. And you just kind of think, you know that in some point in his life, he was down in a sex torture chamber with 4 prostitutes thinking, something's missing.
There's a story about Berlusconi, which I was told, which is that he's got a machine that he actually needs a contraption.
What, a sort of pump?
Yeah, he's a man of a certain age.
How do you know this?
Well, you know.
Come on, admit it, Andy. What happened was somebody said to you, "Now, you might want to try this one, Mr. Hamilton." Silvio Berlusconi uses it.
But what does the girl do while he's using the pump? Does she sit on the bed and play Scrabble on a...
She's doing her homework, by the sounds of things.
The French don't have this. The French have sex scandals with their... Because no one cares. I mean, everybody in France is just rampantly philandering. No one cares. The president can spawn love children to his heart's content, but if you made a roux sauce that was lumpy, he'd be out on his ear.
Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has denied that he held bunga-bunga parties at his villa in Sardinia. Berlusconi is accused of ordering Milan police to release an 18-year-old belly dancer, Karima Kayek, after she was arrested for theft. She denies having sex with him, but did admit to being his foreign secretary. Mr. Berlusconi said, "I'm a person of the heart, and I take action whenever there is someone in need of help." It's like a sex-pest version of Flipper. 2 points to Fred. Bridget, which stains could be removed for good?
Ah, well, this is the town of Stains that wants to rename itself because of the negative connotations associated with stains caused by Ali G. And the name that they've suggested is Stains upon Thames. So it's completely different. I think the problem is that it still has stains in... I think they need to start from scratch and completely rename it to something else that's got much less negative connotations, like Sellafield.
It's like saying, same... what's that on my face? Oh, it's cold sore upon lip.
Apparently, there used to be the electronics firm Siemens used to have their headquarters in Stains and had to move every time the receptionist answered the phone. Maybe if they hate the name Stains, they should call it Sillit Bang.
Extra point. Anybody know British Island's been named one of the top tourist destinations?
Shetland.
Extra point.
Sorry, Bridget.
Yes. What? I had my honeymoon on the Shetlands.
Did you?
In December.
Why?
I didn't know anything about Shetland. That's why. No.
Did you know anything about honeymoons? That's it.
No, I've got to tell you that I thought it would be like the West of, you know, rugged and sort of isolated and all of that. It's basically like a small council estate in the middle of the North Sea. There was 2 hours of daylight. We love walking. My husband and I love walking, so we thought, well, we'll go for walks and we'll look at birds and things like that. There's no trees or bushes or anything like
that.
Windy. It's very bleak and windy. So even if we did have enough light to go for a walk, there wouldn't be anything to look at. So we went into the tourist information office that was just open on the one day that we were there. And this woman looked at me and said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "Oh, we're on our honeymoon, you know, what should we do?" And she said, "Well, there isn't anything really." And she said, "You can go to a chocolate factory on a smaller island." I thought, a smaller island? We got to this island, there wasn't any chocolate, there wasn't any buildings or anything. And what it was there was a bar of chocolate on her desk, right? And I think she just panicked.
Can I just say, Bridget, this... 2 hours of sunlight and nothing to do or see in the island, your husband knew exactly what he was doing.
Tory councillors in the Surrey town of Staines are considering changing the town's name to Staines-upon-Thames, claiming their town has been sullied by its association with Ali G. Staines is situated on the Thames and therefore offers extensive riverside views. Unfortunately, they're all of Staines. 2 points to Bridget. Jeremy, who developed the right tools for communication?
Oh, this is a human evolution story. Humans evolved, except some didn't. They became the Tea Party. But most of us did. And what happened was that we learnt how to use simple tools. They now think it's the development of the brain, and it's the same part of the brain, the language bit. The language bit developed at the same time as the ability to put handles on things properly. Because at that point, nobody had been able to say, "That needs a handle on it." And another one was, "I can't get a handle on this." And they'd say, "That's because it needs a handle on it. That's why." Should we make that a word then? Yeah, we'll call it the handle. Oh, that's good, and we could have handles on other things. This is good, this language thing, isn't it?
The scientists said they'd pinpointed these two caves in Tanzania, and they said in these two caves you can see the development in tools in action. And I thought, what is that? One's got flints and the other one's got a mezzanine level in the spiral staircase.
Neanderthals probably didn't have the tools because they probably had to get a man in, didn't they? They probably had to get a Homo sapiens in. There's a marvellous little man in the village. He hasn't got very much body hair, but he's very good with his hands.
There was an article this week, James May, condemning the decline of what he called dad skills. He said man skills, men don't know how to do anything. And he was quite critical. I thought, well, that's me. But the way I see it, the fact that I don't know how to change a plug keeps electricians in work. It's part of the big society. That's my contribution.
Exactly. DIY is scabbing.
Yes.
Researchers at Imperial College London believe that the evolutionary jump man made when he mastered the art of toolmaking paved the way for language. Scientists now believe the first advanced tool was developed 500,000 years ago and came with a set of baffling Japanese instructions. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hamilton.
This is from David Templeton. He spotted this on his local FreeCycle webpage. Small hamster cage on offer would do for dwarf or baby.
Mr. McCauley.
I've got an audio clip that I heard through my own ears into my brain when I was down south a few weeks ago, and it went like this. Police in Holland thought that a foot that was washed ashore on a beach may be related to a foot that was washed ashore on a beach in Norwich, but it was thought to be unconnected to a third foot washed up elsewhere.
Ms. Christie.
This is sent in by Peter Keating, who saw this on the BBC website. The leader of Harrogate Borough Council has been suspended from the Conservative Party after being photographed dressed as Adolf Hitler. Asked why he had chosen to wear the Nazi star uniform, Mr. Gardner said, "It's one of those situations. You had to be there."
What, in 1934?
Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Timothy Chan of Oxford. And it's from a leaflet sent to account holders of the Royal Bank of Scotland. We will no longer pay interest on credit balances on the following accounts: Royalties Premier, Royalties Gold, Royalties Interest Paying Current Account, Student Royalties, Graduate Royalties, Key Account, Cash Account, and Private Bank Account. Our Interest Paying Current Account will be renamed Current Account.
Let's take a look at the final scores. Andy and Fred have got 13 points, but this week's winners are Bridget and Jeremy with 14. Here's a cutting from the Daily Mail sent in by Mary Thompson.
Industrial action is being threatened after two Blackpool bus drivers were suspended for being too fat to use the driving seats. Unite's regional organiser said, "I hope we can all sit round a table to talk about this."
And with that, goodbye.
Part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Fred McCauley, Bridget Christie and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chair script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Crooks and Gareth Gwynn, with additional material by Elliot Howe and John Hunter. The producer was Sam Bryant.